Two Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number you want to get in. Pratt Andrew Lars phone lines, Adams & Co. Roofing text line. We're 4 hours from the start of our Roar College Football Kickoff Show, presented by Bud Light, Southern Weaving Food Hall here in Easley, 5 to 8. Plenty of options for dinner, beverages, family, bring the kids. They've got an ice cream spot. Can attest to both the ice cream and the cookies there. They're delightful. There's a coffee spot in there. There is like an arcade and a play place for the kids. This is a great location if you've never been there, and a ton of parking. So if you're worried about, oh, man, it's 5:30, I just got off work, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to park. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of parking, plenty of opportunity to come out to Southern Weaving Food Hall tonight. 654-ROAR if you'd like to get in. Absolutely love this day. There's a lot of things we got to clean up between now and then. Ben, there was big news that came out of Clemson yesterday about an on-field logo partnership. I can tell you this was a long time coming that there would be a logo partnership deal. And it happens very soon to the start of the season. You're talking about a couple weeks from the start of the season and, you know, with two Saturdays between now and the first home game. With Prisma Health, it's a big deal. Ben, the initial reaction I had was very different from the reaction that I saw from a lot of people. My reaction was almost like emotionally nothing, basically nothing. It's a good source of revenue. It makes a lot of sense. Ben, I'm looking at the logos on the field. It blends in perfectly. It's not like gaudy or distracting or anything like that. I'm seeing no downside, only upside of this thing. Only going to help. A lot of the comments were like very negative towards this. And I got to be honest, I have absolutely no idea why you would feel badly about the specifics of this deal in any way, shape, or form.
This is a safe space, folks. We can have a conversation about this. I think one of the differences is what your starting point is mentally. Mine was, this is going to happen at every single school in America. It's not if, it is a matter of when. And for others, I think they were surprised by it because they didn't look at it that way. I can tell you there was a deal that was very close last year. In fact, I was shocked when there was not a sponsorship on the field last year. So maybe I've had a season to get ahead of this. My first reaction was the same as you, Quack, was that of relief for two reasons. One, It's a reputable partner. It's a reputable company that you can be proud of. Two, it's, as you said, it's a logo that just blends in. You put the ACC logo on your field. This is less intrusive than that, in my opinion. I mean, it really is. And you look around the country at what other schools are doing. Auburn, for instance, Yellowwood is on their field. It's the big yellow logo right below Pat Dye Field. I mean, it's not great. You have like Tyson Foods at Arkansas and Riverwind at Oklahoma and Bank of Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. And then you get some that are, you know, like USAA at Air Force. That just makes lots of sense.
Of course.
Progressive is on Georgia's field this year and also on about 10 other schools. They signed a deal with, I believe, 10 different schools. There's a lot out there. This could be so much worse, I guess, is my point. And I appreciate those that are the traditionalists, that you don't touch the field, you don't, you know. But we're just not in that world anymore. And I thought about it like this last night. Play along with me, Quok.
Okay.
This company, the Roar, gives you a company car that is a Ferrari. We do that here, folks. Quok's driving a Ferrari.
Yes.
And everybody loves the Ferrari. And you would never, ever do anything to the Ferrari. But the business that you're in now requires you to generate funds in any way possible. And someone's going to give you $2 million to put a bumper sticker on the Ferrari. Not a huge one, but yet, but it's still a bumper sticker. You would never, ever put a bumper sticker under normal circumstances on a Ferrari. But you're in a situation where you have to maximize profit and you can't walk away from $2 million. And the majority of that car is going to look exactly like it always has. But there's one area that's going to have a bumper sticker on it. And you're not going to like it. And it's going to take some getting used to. But your business, is the business that you are in, is forcing you to have to generate income and revenue, whether you want to or not. Keep that in mind. You really don't have a choice if you're going to be competitive. You have to take advantage of these things. So you're going to put a bumper sticker on your Ferrari. To me, that's what Clemson has had to do here. Did they want to? No. If they wanted to, they'd have done it a long time ago. But circumstances dictate that you have to do this now. And you weren't the first. You didn't jump at the first offer either. They were selective in how they went about this. I don't know what the financial part of this is, but I know what it ain't, and it ain't cheap. Am I making sense?
Yes. Here? I love your analogy there with the bumper sticker on the car. I would ask this question, okay? And I'm thinking more real world terms, because here's what I think is happening. And if you're, listen, if I'm convicting you out there right now, then let me do it. But if you're not in this camp and you have negative feelings about this, then I want to hear from you. 654 Roar. Like, I want to know from you, what is it that you find particularly offensive about this? Because I think there are people who were determined that they were going to hate this before anything ever was said about it. They had already made up their minds, we're going to hate this, and so it doesn't matter what company it is, it doesn't matter how it looks, it doesn't matter the revenue, it doesn't matter any of the context or the circumstances, we are going to hate this. I would ask those people, have you noticed in the last 5 years what logo is on the Little John Coliseum basketball court? Could you tell me? I've referenced it many times. But when I look at that court, it does not stick out to me. You know why? Because it's exactly like this field logo. It fits in with the overall experience. It is not gaudy. It does not draw attention to itself. The only time it draws attention to itself is when Hannah Cohn makes a three from the logo. Like, I really want to get, because that's exactly the same. We have had logos on Little John's court for years. This is not the first place on campus where the logo has been. It has been multiple things over the years, and I've been calling games for years, and I don't hear any backlash from anybody about, you know, I would love these games if they just rip that logo off the court.
Texture said, imagine if the bumper sticker made your Ferrari faster and better. That's a great point, because that is in theory what you're doing with the logo here. For some people, maybe I'm misreading their outrage, too. And so let me ask this question, because I think for a lot of people, this is it. You're not upset at Clemson. You're upset at the circumstances that is forcing this to happen. And I'm more in that camp. If you're frustrated that schools have to do this now, and I emphasize have to, I can get behind that. I'm in that camp. I'm frustrated that we have to go to this extreme and I don't feel like it's extreme, but you know what I mean. I'm frustrated with NIL and college football as a whole. And I think maybe that is what some people are feeling. So that outrage is really not directed towards Clemson specific. It's more to the circumstances. If that's you, I understand where you're coming from. I'm with you there.
I do feel like the again, maybe I'm missing this. Lots of folks are mad that Clemson's asking them for more money. They're mad that Clemson's getting money this way, and they also want to win every game. Like, at some point, they're either going to – and look, they might ask both for money. They might ask Prisma for money, and they might ask you for money, and that might be a thing. But at some point, you can't be mad about results if you don't want Clemson to make money somewhere to be able to afford what we know that they need to afford now. You have to choose. And if me personally
– I mean, I get your point. I think it's okay to accept it but not like it, though.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm just saying if my stance is Clemson shouldn't be asking anyone for more money, then I have to just be okay with we're going to go 6-6 or 7-5. Like, that's where you have to be okay. You can't demand 10-2 and be mad that they're asking everybody for more money. And also that they're getting corporations, which are much more inclined to give that money more so than individual donors and things like that. Ticket holders, that kind of stuff. That's where I am on it.
Yeah, I agree with that, but at the same time, I understand those people's frustration. That's not me. I haven't been in that situation. But I do have a very close friend that buys lots of tickets, gives lots of money, and he was extremely frustrated that he did all that and was then got phone calls asking for more. And I go back to what I say, is your frustration with the school or with the circumstances that's forcing this? Because I'm going to tell you, there's somebody on Clemson's campus who wants to make that phone call. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're not volunteering for backlash about a logo on a field. But at the same time, I would point out this is not the end of the world either. I like what you said about Little John was in every single home game last year looking at that field. I had to stop for a minute and think about it myself. And listen, I saw some comments last night saying, you know, well, as long as they don't put a patch on the jersey. That's probably going to happen too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's happening everywhere, and it's a source of revenue. And again, I don't think anybody wants to do that. Circumstances say you have to.
I would not be surprised if another sport is the jersey patch guinea pig. I will say that. That may be where they end up going with this. All right, 654-ROAR is the number. We'll take a break. We'll come back with much more college football talk. We'll talk more logo. A lot of people are in on this. Stay with us. More to come in a moment.
The countdown is on. 9 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
He takes a snap. Looking Moore's way. Going to go long. He beat his man. Throw to Moore. What an attack!
To the point that other schools are copying it. There are other schools that literally have like their school name and ventures for this program because it's based on Clemson's model. Clemson bringing media rights in-house was sort of the precursor to this, where that's sort of become the place where it houses the media rights and also the revenue generation part. And so Clemson is more on the forefront than you think, but that is a relatively new development. You're right about the alcohol sales. You're right about all that stuff. I think that's 100% right. That this feels like you're having to catch up in some ways. But I think people would be surprised at how I think in some ways the ventures enterprise has gone from behind to ahead in some of this stuff. Now, in terms of field logo, I don't think Clemson is a pioneer. Let me make you understand that. I don't think that this is Clemson being behind a lot of schools. But I don't think it's fair to characterize Clemson right now in 2026 as trying to do it old school or trying to do it the old-fashioned way. I think there is an acknowledgement that there are different things required now, different revenue streams and different avenues and a different strategy required. And so Clemson is pivoting to do that. Graham and Michael and everybody there at Ventures, Mike Money, like everybody there at Ventures, that's what they're doing. And so we are getting a good bit of that. Like, you know, we should be doing more of this, or why is Clemson not doing more of this? And so I appreciate that too. Ultimately, this is what I think is going to happen here. I think people will see the benefits in terms of what's on the field. I think people will not notice the negative that you think of. I think you will notice the logo enough for it to be worth the money. I think that's true of the Founders logo at Little John 2. But it will not be a distraction that you get complaints about in the mail. You're not going to want to fire off an email to Graham after you sit there in the football stadium watching a game. I don't think that's true.
Oh, I saw people yesterday on social that were, which brings out the worst of us sometimes, myself included, that's like, that's it, not watching anymore. Like, really? I mean, because of there's a couple of words on the field and that, like, really, that's the reason?
In two spots. It doesn't move, so you don't even see it every, like, if you're watching on your TV,
yeah,
you don't even see it all the time.
Now, again, it could be more related to the frustration of why you have to do that versus the fact that you actually did it. It could be that, but I tend to think a lot of the backlash, and you know what, it actually has not been bad, but there's been some, as you would imagine. I think some of that is more because of college football overall and what is going on than it is the fact that you actually did that.
That's right. Back to what we said in the beginning, I think a lot of these are proverbial issues that people have, that once the season starts, I don't think it will exist. There are some people mad about the company they chose to partner with, which that's a whole other thing, and I think some of that is political and like
I'm not getting
related.
Into that.
But the way it looks
and who it is it's not something that's going to be laughed at by other schools.
I'm going to tell you this. Every single major school has a partnership with a medical something because you need doctors and surgeons and people on standby. Like, you need that. You need a payroll of people that can do that. Every single school has a partnership with a hospital system or a group of doctors. That is a part of life, man. I don't know what to tell you about that. Let's go to Gamecock James, who's up with us next on the Pratt & Jewelers phone lines. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Yeah, I agree with y'all. I don't understand what all the uproar is about. I mean, it's just a company, and it's a health organization. What's wrong with that? I mean, it's not like it's some kind of trashy logo or company you're trying to deal with.
Exactly.
I just don't understand that. Yeah.
I see what Ben's saying about, like, the people would rather not, or people understand but they're not fans of it. I could get that. I could get behind that. The people that are totally opposed, I think, are living in 1994, yeah, personally.
And like you said, that's the way things are going today. And you're going to have to, you know, get money from somewhere, and if they're willing to pay that, and it's a reputable organization, you're going to take it. I mean, that's just the way it is, whether we like it or not. You know, that's the way things are going.
That's right.
And another thing, the Braves, they have the Quick Creek logo on their sleeve. Have you noticed that? I mean, everybody's doing it now.
Not with Acuna, because it blends in with all of his armor, but everybody else, yeah.
They have that, and they have the, I don't know how you pronounce the trucking company or freight company, SAIA, that's enormous on their field.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't bother, I mean, I don't, really care. It doesn't bother me, but I guess they feel like they have to do that to get some money. I don't know. But anyway, I think that's pretty petty to be, you know, criticizing putting the logo on the field, especially when it's something that's like a hospital, you know, or whatever. Anyway.
No, it could be a lot worse, James. I agree. I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. I think I talked to James. He says he's coming tonight, 5 to 8.
Good.
Right here in Easley, Southern Weaving Food Hall. I mean, it could be worse. And like, I don't think the best argument for something is like, look at the worst things it could be. But you did find some interesting corporate partnerships on fields and stadiums, or sometimes both, that, I mean, Clemson at this point has shied away from that. I think it would be really difficult for Clemson to do that for existing buildings or surfaces or whatever, because like, you're going to take Frank Howard Field off, and I don't think you're going to name Memorial Stadium. I think that would be really, really, really tough to sell for a lot of people to rename Memorial Stadium. But like, Indiana did it. Indiana has a Merchants Bank Field at Memorial Stadium, Ben.
Yeah, Southern Cal, United Airlines Field at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Washington, Alaska Airlines Field at Husky Stadium. I mean, yeah, there's several more of those.
So it could be, I don't know if you say better or worse. It could be different from this. I'm going to make a prediction right now. I think if Clemson beats LSU, no one will complain about the logo at the Georgia Southern game. I think as long as you're winning, it's the whole thing. As long as you're winning, you can get away with a lot, and everybody's happy. Everybody's a little more hunky dory. Go along with whatever. If you lose, you get grumpy about stuff, even stuff that doesn't matter to winning and losing. Texer asked this, and I do remember this. Y'all remember when Maryland had all the weight loss ads when Ralph Friedgen was the head coach? Somebody did, and I don't remember what the company was, but I do. I remember somebody going up there for a game and thinking, there's a lot of weight loss ads at a stadium where your coach looks like that. Former ACC Coach of the Year, Ralph Friedgen, by the way.
True.
I was thinking about Blast from the Past the other day. Do you ever have this? This is so random. Because I was actually talking to Walt the other day about Malik Washington in Maryland, and like, is Mike Leix going to win any game in October or November in the entirety of his Maryland head coaching tenure? Like, do you ever just think about, like, God, Bruce Perry was unbelievable. Like, from 25 years ago, Bruce Perry, the little 5-foot-nothing running back from Maryland that I think ran for 292,000 yards on Clemson, and Maryland ended up winning the ACC and beat Clemson, what was that, 01, 02, something like that? I was like, Bruce Perry. Why am I thinking about Bruce Perry? I've thought about Bruce Perry in 10 years minimum, and yet here we are. I do think I shared a video the other day about Peter Warrick. It was every 40-plus yard touchdown that Peter Warrick had in his college career, and it was a long highlight package.
That would take a minute.
I mean, you want to talk about, like, I had repressed memories from the 1997 Clemson Florida State game where Warrick took a punt back. Like, he had a couple long touchdowns, but then like, the game was still, it was not, I mean, Clemson wasn't going to win that game, but it was relatively close enough. And then he takes a punt back. And I think it was the first time I was ever just totally in awe of somebody's ability, is watching Peter Warrick that day. Unbelievable. Ralph Friedgen lives in Isle of Palms. I'm sure he's a listener. Shout out to Isle of Palms. Text from the 864. Good looking out. Jason reminds us that everyone in Clemson wanted Friedgen as OC instead of Chad. I did. I said bring that guy in. And my biggest thing was he's going to run an offense similar to what you're running. Turns out that's not what Dabo wanted at all. He did not like the offense they've been running. And so that would not have done it. All right, 654 Roar is the number you want to get in. When we come back, we have week zero games. Brian Edwards is going to give us some winners and some updates on betting lines for some of these early college football games. Stay with us. More to come in just a moment.
Scrolling again.
Fiber Studios, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. I've been having withdrawals, folks. I have. It has been since July 16th, I believe. Maybe July 9th. I'm not even sure. It might have been July 9th the last time that we had Brian Edwards on with us. And gosh darn it, with games on the horizon, Brian is back. At Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter. Check him out, VegasInsider.com, Senior Handicapper, and at MajorWager.com. Brian, what's up, buddy?
What's happening, Quark? Yeah, June and July are not big content months for me, so I'm back in business now, though. We've got football, and I'm fired up, and I know you are, too.
One of the things that I love is that way back, several weeks ago, you told us to be on the lookout for this TCU-North Carolina line, and you got it before it jumped late this week. Where do we sit right now, and what would you advise folks to do with the number where it is?
Okay, great question. Yeah, I'm glad I mentioned it because I know I mentioned it on a bunch of shows because it was sitting there at 7.5 for a long time, and I knew it was eventually going to move. And I was surprised, you know, midweek that it had not moved. And then yesterday, a little bit after lunch, it finally moved to 8.5, but it wasn't done there. And it was 9.5 at a lot of books by late last night. Looks like it's 9.5 at most spots right now. So, look, I think that you're probably good with TCU at minus 10 or fewer, but obviously I love my minus 7 position better. But definitely I think TCU is a team you look if you want to do a teaser or a parlay, whether it's this weekend or tied to next weekend's games. Because I think dancing partners with TCU for a moneyline parlay or a teaser could be Ole Miss next week, you know, minus 6.5. If it's a teaser, 6 points, dropping them down when they just got to win outright against Louisville and Nashville. And or Auburn, which is minus 7 in Atlanta to Baylor. I don't really like to tease minus 4 favorites. I was going to say when Virginia was 5.5, and we'll talk about them in a minute, you know, maybe they were a teaser or still a money line parlay partner that you could use TCU with. And, you know, I haven't seen the first half line, or actually let me click here and see if it's up yet. I was going to say if it's 6.5 or fewer, I'm not against a little small play on TCU in the first half. Looks like 5.5 at most books. So, look, I mean, you know, not only was the Jordan Hudson drama and the 4-8 disaster last year, but now you've got Mike Lombardi, the GM, on leave. Now you've got Belichick's son, defensive coordinator. He's on medical leave. So, I mean, it has just been nonstop. I mean, Jordan Hudson hasn't even been a part of the drama the last month or so. So, you know, look, TCU, you know, they obviously lost Hoover, but I like this new quarterback. I mean, I haven't watched much of him. But I've seen a few clips of him. Jaden Craig, a Harvard transfer, 25-7 TDINT ratio, and was first team all Ivy. He's replacing Hoover at quarterback for TCU. And you know Sonny Dykes is always going to score points. And, TCU's got 5 starters back on offense and defense, so 10 total. Normally that's not a big number, but in this new era of the portal, 5 starters back on each side of the ball is not a bad number to have, and they did go 9-4 last year compared to UNC's 4-8, and they did stomp the Tar Heels 48-14 in Chapel Hill, and now we're on a neutral in Dublin.
All right, before we get to some other plays that you have, I want to talk about NC State and Virginia because that was one where I'm looking at the 5.5 going, all right, there's some value. NC State's got maybe the better quarterback in Bailey. I know it's a road game, but Virginia's sort of having a reset. They've got their coordinators back, but a little bit of a reset. NC State's under the radar, but with a really like manageable schedule. If they can get this game, they can maybe make a run at some things. And then that injury report comes out, and I'm like, golly, because I did what you did. None of these players were going to play, but Virginia just loaded up the availability report. It's almost like, and I love Tony Elliott, I don't think he's doing this, they wanted to manipulate the line with just a bunch of names, just bury them. What do we think about the fact that people have responded, either because they think the number was too high or because they saw the availability report and you got more than a dozen players out for Virginia?
Yeah, so 16 guys on that list, and really none of them are that important except for Rico Flores, who's a projected starter and one of their better gets in the portal, wide receiver from UCLA. Now, what is important is the two guys that are questionable
yes.
for UVA, and that's Cam Robinson, who's an absolute star, is going to play in the NFL as long as he doesn't have another injury setback. But he tore his ACL, I want to say November 14th or 15th, whatever that Saturday in mid-November was last season. You know, he's been practicing, you know, on a, you know, kind of limited basis. You know, I have no idea if he's going to play or not. That is kind of a big deal. And then also a projected starter in the secondary in Corey Koster, who had a pretty good freshman season. So those two guys are iffy. Look, I was kind of – everything you said, Quark, I agreed with. My thought process was I'd like Virginia to win this game. I mean, I wrote a big preview on it like 2 weeks ago. And, by the way, I've got previews of – TCU, North Carolina, and NC State, Virginia on Major Wager homepage. But I was thinking I like Virginia to win this, but I was thinking 5.5 too many. You know, I kind of leaned NC State, but now that it's moved to 4, I'm kind of leaning Virginia. But I was going to sit back and watch, find out if we get news on Koster and Robinson. But I would say that if you want to do a money line parlay with TCU and Virginia, certainly not against that. I think that'll be a winner. Or, you know, maybe pair it with like the suggestions I made for next week, perhaps Auburn and or Ole Miss with the UVA on the money line. Certainly, if it gets to 3.5, I'll consider buying the half point to 3 on Virginia.
Okay, so let me ask this. We're visiting with Brian Edwards. Check him out, MajorWager.com. In fact, go read the Week 0 game previews. They're excellent that Brian did a Major Wager. I would agree and co-sign that. Also go to VegasInsider.com, senior handicapper there, and at Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter. So if you like 5.5 and you're sitting at 4, 4.5 right now, is it a situation where like, hey, if you liked NC State to cover 5.5, maybe you take a little chance and maybe try to get it back somewhere down the road on a money line with NC State? I mean, would that be something that you would see given what else is on your betting card, you know, elsewhere?
I think Virginia's going to win the game. So
okay.
No, not really. I like, you know, I didn't want to lay 5.5 for sure.
Right.
I was thinking, you know, Virginia may win a field goal game. And I think Virginia's the better team. I mean, look, they do have the better quarterback. I agree with you on that. But NC State lost a lot. I mean, they lost Peak, the offensive tackle to South Carolina. Obviously, Hollywood Smothers went to Texas. They lost several other key players to the portal. Really, C.J. Bailey was their main guy they retained. And look, they're going to be pretty good, but I think Virginia's the better team, and they're at home.
I think you're all over it right there. If NC State does win this, I gave out their win total over a couple days ago. If they do win this, they're definitely going over. Like I might pre-celebrate on that. Let's talk a little. I would call this undercard. Jacksonville State, North Dakota State, North Dakota State's debut in the FBS, and they're touchdown favorite. That seems wild given Jacksonville State's like a half decade ahead of them and making the jump.
I agree. I'm going to go with Jack State plus 7. You know, they lose Rich Rod, but Charles Kelly, formerly the DC for Jimbo at FSU, had a nice first season, got them to the Conference USA championship game for a second straight year, had their fourth consecutive 9-win season. Look, they did go 9-5, but the 4 or 4 of the 5 losses were by 7 or fewer, which is obviously notable because we're getting 7 points here. They've got their quarterback, Caden Creel. He's back. He rushed for 1,076 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5.9 yards per carry average last year. And he also had a 9-4 TDINT ratio. And the Gamecocks had the second-best recruiting class in Conference USA. They got 8 Power 4 transfers. North Dakota making the big move up, but they lost their quarterback. They lost their 2 best receivers and 2 best running backs. Nothing against North Dakota State. They've obviously been an FCS juggernaut, but I'm going to go with Jack State plus 7.
All right, and one more play that you got on the board. The UNLV overs were tremendous last year. Now, my hesitation on this one, so you can maybe, I don't need much pushing to get all the way over on this, okay? But Memphis, they've probably got a better defense returning than offense, and Charles Huff, he's had some good defenses, so that's my only hesitation, but this number seems low at 56 for UNLV and Memphis.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you've said, especially, you know, about Charles Huff and defenses, but I just can't, you know, get it out of my mind that week zero game when Idaho State just went up and down the field on UNLV last year in a 38-31 game. I just don't think UNLV is going to be very good defensively. But on the flip side, Phil Steele's national unit rankings have UNLV number 37 at QB, 35 at running back, 47 on the O-line. Those are very good numbers for a G5 team. And Jaden Thomas is back, a two-time All-Mountain West pick at running back. For Mullen, and I think it's going to mostly be Jackson Arnold, although Mullen's, you know, been kind of playing coy on who's going to start. But as for Memphis offensively, it's kind of ironic here. So Marcus Stokes is going to be their starter. He's a transfer from West Florida, but he was originally in a verbal commit to the Gators when Mullen was there. But he had a really nice run at West Florida, 4,890 passing yards and 44 touchdowns. So I'm going to go over, but let's buy the half point from 56.5 to 56, because 56 multiple seven and a key number on a total. So let's buy the half point and go over 56.
Some Trinidad Chambliss comparisons for his D2 compatriot there from West Florida. So I'm excited to see that. Did we talk? I know we talked about him in the parlay. Did we talk about Ole Miss -6.5? You still like that number next week?
Yeah, I like it. I'm not going to, like, say definitely – well, yeah, I've already played it. So, yeah, go ahead and play it. But I don't think we're in danger of that line, like, moving north of 7, because I think they'll be a – you know, Jeff Brohm as an underdog is really good. I like Ole Miss in that game, though, no doubt about it. So if you want to go ahead and play it now. But I don't think we're in danger of that number, you know, flying north of 7, like – I knew TCU was going to move north of 7.5.
Yeah, no question. That makes a lot of sense to me. All right, Brian, the season is upon us. We always appreciate it. Check out his great work, MajorWager.com. You got questions about TCU, North Carolina. You got questions about the other games in Week 0. Brian's got some great content for you at MajorWager.com. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the football this weekend, live, meaningful football, and we will talk again with a full slate next week.
Thanks, Walt. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Brian Edwards joining the party. Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. I so wanted to play NC State +5.5. I just feel like that's a field goal game. But that, I knew it. I knew when it came out, that stupid availability report. Tony Elliott, you dog. He put like a bunch of red shirts on there. Bunch of dudes that nobody knows. The people in the program don't even know their names. They're all out. Did you see it, Ben? He had a column and a half of out players, and like none of them are anywhere close to a depth chart.
That's awesome.
So the line gets bet down from